Welcome to Pods and Pans, a podcast brought to you by the Pharmacy Association of Nova Scotia.
This podcast and content contained therein, including text, images, audio, or other formats, were created for general education and informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, clinical diagnosis, or treatment. Reliance on any information provided is solely at your own risk.
Hi, welcome to Pods and Pans. My name's Glenn Rodriguez, and I'm the Pharmacy Practice Facilitator at the Pharmacy Association of Nova Scotia. Today, I'm really excited to have Rowan Sardi here. Rowan's the Program Manager from the Drug Information System and SHARE. Welcome, Rowan.
Thanks, Glenn. It's great to be here with you today.
So, Rowan, before I begin, again, when people think about being a pharmacist, your title and your position doesn't often come to mind. How would you describe your role and what was your journey to get there?
Great question. So I started in my pharmacy career as a community pharmacist for about 7 years. And then the pandemic hit and I had a young child and I was trying to look at different job opportunities that might offer a little bit more flexibility with the shift at work being a little difficult. So I had applied for this position at the Department of Health and Wellness because I had a keen interest in technology also and thought it would be really neat growth and learning opportunity. And also because I, as a user of the Drug Information System and SHARE, I often came across frustrations and, thought maybe this was an opportunity that I can help to influence some of those things and hopefully make things better for folks. So my role at the department is very interesting. I struggle often to really describe my role and what I do, but essentially I work under a broader digital health team, and that team kind of oversees the business side more so of our provincial clinical health information systems and applications. So specifically the Drug Information System, SHARE, there's another team that's tasked with the public health information system and its associated applications, like Can Immunize, for example. And then there's also another team that's tasked with more of the electronic medical records EMR space. We work really closely. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, it sounds like one of the more robust, biggest, and probably complicated with all the different systems trying to navigate and do that. But, as we can see with the Drug Information System and SHARE, it's nice when things start slowly becoming centralized.
Definitely. And there's a lot of work that happens on the Nova Scotia Health Authority side as well. So our teams work really closely with them as they tend to do more of the actual IT support. So our teams are more so looking at kind of the long-term vision and roadmap and making enhancements and changes and integrating different systems together and kind of the more big picture view, though we do get a bit involved in the IT support aspects as well. But yeah, it's a really interesting place to work for sure. And I've been learning a lot over the last few years and I continue to learn new things every day about these systems. So it's really an interesting place to work and a neat way to apply my pharmacy background.
Well, we're really happy to have you there. And again, it's one of these things that it's funny talking to pharmacists and this, the difference when they suddenly get access to the labs, they can't imagine ever going back. So really happy for all the work that you're doing. So I'm going to start first with, we still have some sites in Nova Scotia that aren't on SHARE, and it is a bit of a multi-step process, and we want to try to provide support and guidance to those teams. I know over the years, I've helped a lot of sites get on board. How would you describe this overall process, and are there any tips available or navigational supports that we could give to our listeners?
Great question. So yes, as you described, it is a multi-step process. It's not as streamlined and straightforward as we would like it to be, but there's some reasons for that. But anyway, we do try to offer as much support as we can for folks working through the process. As a starting point, if you're ever kind of unsure, you can always reach out to our team's email address, which is simply share@novascotia.ca. And on our website, we have some documents that we hope will help folks navigate through the process. Essentially, there's two main parts to it. The first is whatever pharmacy you're working at needs to have a legal share access agreement put in place with the Department of Health. And that agreement lays out, responsibilities with respect to accessing the personal health information that's contained within our systems. So for stores that are, under a corporate chain, for example, like Lawtons or Sobeys, that kind of thing, they tend to all be covered under one overarching agreement. So in that case, they usually straightforward. They already have an agreement in place, and it's just a matter of the individual pharmacist sending in their individual user request form. For some of the independent pharmacies, for example, they'll usually need to have an agreement with the store owner, and Department of Health. So there's a corporate pharmacy request form for setting up that initial kind of site level agreement. And then once that's in place, the individual pharmacist can submit a community pharmacist request form. For their own access. And that needs to be signed by whoever is designated as kind of the signatory from that site. So it's typically the pharmacy manager, but there is some variation. So if you're ever, not quite sure who needs to sign them, as I mentioned, you can reach out to our email and we can help you with that.
No, that just for everyone, share at novascotia.ca has saved me a number of times.
Yes. So once that request form with your details is submitted, then our team has a process for submitting that to a user access team, and they're the ones who kind of set up the accounts. And that can take, depending on how busy they are at the time, it can take typically between 1 to 2 weeks. So just good to know that it's not an immediate process. But then once that's set up, you should receive an email from us with your login information. And you might often see the term credentials used, which I know a lot of pharmacists might not be familiar with, but essentially that just means your username and password. Because we're giving access to a system that has personal health information, we can't just send that over regular email. So we use a secure email platform called MOVEit, and you'll receive the email through that. And I know some folks sometimes struggle to be able to open that email. So we also have a bit of a guide with some screenshots on our website to walk you through that if you need assistance. Or as always, you can reach out to our email as well if you need some support with that part of it.
It's funny because sometimes when we're trying to figure out, okay, where are we in the process? It turns out some of the pharmacy managers may have an email in their inbox that they need to open. And it's very much like Mission Impossible. After so many days, the message will self-destruct for security reasons, right? And
Exactly.
just trying to make sure that the people that are authorized to access that know to make sure they open up that email as soon as they get it.
Yeah, exactly. It's automatically set to expire and be not viewable after 30 days, as you mentioned, for security reasons. So important to kind of access that and share it with whoever it needs to be shared with right away. If the form is filled out clearly, so for example, if if you fill it out electronically, so it's typed and very clear to us what the user's email is, we will try to send it to the user themselves. But sometimes when the written form is, it might not be quite legible, so we send it to the person's manager.
Okay. Now, one last question in terms of getting onto it, and then we'll get more into the details of share. So some people will find that their passwords expire or they may forget their passwords. What advice would you have for them?
Great question. That is something we run into frequently. So my biggest piece of advice for that is the importance of setting up what we call challenge and response questions. So when you're originally setting up your account, there is a form on our website that you can fax into a different number than your request form, called a challenge and response form. And that goes to the Nova Scotia Health Service Desk team, so that if you're calling them because you can't remember your password or you're having trouble getting logged in, they can confirm that you are who you say you are so that they can either do a password reset for you or support you in getting your access fixed. You can either submit that form kind of when you're first setting things up. And if you're ever unsure, if you've signed up for Share years ago and you can't remember if you ever sent that in or not, when you are logged in through the remote desktop using Share, there is, on the desktop, you'll see there's that link to get into the Share portal, but then there's also kind of other links as well. And you can go through, there's a Sys reset application you can kind of use to electronically set your challenge and response questions or update them if you need to. So it's a good idea every now and then just to go check, make sure you actually know what your questions are and what the answers are. so that when you do need help with a password reset, you can reach out to the service desk and get the help that you need. And again, if you need any help with figuring out, how to do that, reach out to our email. We're happy to send links for that. And the other piece is that passwords, even if you're logging in regularly, which we also recommend because people run into issues if they haven't used it in several months, then we actually have to get their account fully reactivated, so which can take a bit of time. So if you log in regularly, that helps to reduce the chance of that happening. However, after 3 months, even if you're using it regularly, your password will expire and you'll have to set a new password. If you're logging in frequently enough, usually at around the 2 weeks before that happens, you'll get notifications that your password's going to expire. And in that quick reference guide that we have, there is a link to where you can go to reset that yourself. You don't need to call the help desk to update your password if it's expired. It's just if you've forgotten your password that you would need to call help desk for that password reset. But if it's just a matter of it's been the 3 months and you need to set a new password, you should be able to do that yourself.
Okay, that's great. And actually, just a reminder to our listeners that on the PANS Member Lounge, we have a pharmacy practice support link on the left-hand side, and it's really for frequently asked questions, and we do have a link for share. So now let's actually jump into share. I want to talk about what's on share and what may not be on share so that people will know what's the information that's provided and any potential limitations.
Sure. So within Share, it does contain a fair bit of data from different health systems across our province, but it's definitely not entirely comprehensive, and that's important to understand because you don't want to waste time looking for a result that's not going to be there anyway. So one of the main things people tend to use Share for in community pharmacy is for the lab results. Lab results from across the province are generally available within Share. However, there are a couple of exceptions to that. And so, one of the important ones to be aware of is when it comes to what we called kind of referred or dropped off lab results. So, that's typically when a result is collected at a certain site, but then it has to be sent to a different site for processing. Sometimes, because those are registered in a different way in the system, they don't always actually feed into Share. So, particularly, it tends to be if the result, or sorry, if the specimen is collected outside of central zone typically, so in eastern zone, or northern zone or western zone, and if it has to be sent into central zone for processing, in many cases, those don't tend to be available within Share. However, if it's going to the IWK within central zone, so if it's pediatric specific, those do tend to be available in Share. But for the adult population, that can sometimes be a gap. As well as when it comes to microbiology and pathology reports, there are some gaps with that as well, particularly outside of central zone. And that's simply because in each zone, they're using different systems. So some of those older systems just have not been set up to have that information feed into Share, unfortunately. So that's just something to be aware of with what you're looking at, what's in Share. And then as well as, those cases where somebody might have go to, a private collection clinic to have their blood work done. Sometimes that does not make it into Share as well. But if they're having it collected at a Nova Scotia Health facility, it typically will be.
Okay. So I also noticed that it's not just labs, but there's also reports there as well.
Yes, and that's something more recent that I'm very excited about, because originally pharmacists only had access to the lab results within Share, but this past year we were able to make a case to have that expanded to also include diagnostic imaging reports as well as clinical reports. So you'll probably notice when you're in Share, there, usually you're used to accessing the results tab. That will now, in addition to the lab results, also have radiology results. And then there's an additional tab called clinical reports, where you can see various reports that have been entered from throughout the hospital system. So the types of reports that are typically helpful to pharmacists are seeing things like a discharge summary, which if you receive a discharge prescription, which I'm sure many of you have, that it might be unclear as to why medication was changed or if it was an intentional change. Sometimes you can gain really good insight from the discharge summary around the care that happened in hospital and why some meds might have been adjusted. So it might save you a call to that unit.
Yeah, it's looking at the hospital discharge reports are really comprehensive so that you can understand the patient's journey through the hospital. And on being on the receiving end of a discharge prescription and not quite understanding what happened, that can really be a useful tool.
For sure. And then you also can typically find specialist reports. If they patients visit a specialist that's located within the hospital, those reports are often available, so which can be helpful to kind of get more details about a particular medical condition that you're trying to manage for the patient.
So on our member lounge, we have this blog called 5 Seconds Easier. And one of the things we're trying to do for our members is just to find ways to make doing the job easier. Do you have any specific advice for our listeners?
For sure. When you're in the share application, there's actually an additional tab near the right-hand side called Helpful Tips. And there's a few documents in there. A couple of them are reference things that I was talking about kind of what's in share, what's not in share. But there's also some tips around setting your configurations to make navigating share a little bit easier. So for example, a couple of the things that I've done to just make things slightly quicker for myself is when you're in your patient search, you probably notice that it tends to default to a search criteria called MRN. And that's a unique identifier that's used within the hospital systems, but it's not relevant to pharmacy. So in that kind of box, the top left-hand corner, there's a really tiny button that says edit, where you can actually go and change your configuration so that whenever you open the patient search, you'll automatically have health card number clicked off instead of MRN. You don't have to first toggle switch to health card. You can just go right ahead and enter the health card.
The number of people that have typed in the health card number, hit search, and had nothing come up, only to realize that that'll be helpful.
I definitely find it helpful, and it just saves you a quick extra second, which is always nice because we're always busy. And then the other, when you're viewing the results, you can also change those default settings as well. So typically it will default to showing the last 30 days. Oftentimes, once you open the results, there might not be anything there or not as much there as you need to look at. So then you have to go into the box to specify how many days you want to go back. So again, there is a little edit button where you can change your configuration to automatically, when you open the results tab and view the results, you can set whatever default number of days you want to. I typically set it at around 700, so I'm looking at the last couple of years, but you can set it to whatever fits your preferences. And as well, when you're viewing results, it's important to know, I think, that because the information comes from different hospital systems, sometimes the naming conventions of a certain lab test can be different. So if you're using the kind of keyword search to search for a certain type of result, like if you're looking for electrolytes, for example, if you just kind of search or electrolytes, you might not actually be getting the results from all across the province if the patients had care in different facilities, because in some systems, electrolytes are actually just called lights. So you need, so it's important when you're
That's good to
searching,
know.
to know that there can be variations. So keep your search really vague if you can, or just as you use it frequently, you start to learn, okay, this is typically how it looks. So you kind of know what to search by. But there's just kind of some of those little nuances that can make things easier. And I also typically find it easy to look at various things at once. Sometimes if I'm, renewing a medication and I want to look at electrolytes plus their EGFR and things like that at the same time, when you're looking at the list of all the available results, there's a checkbox on the far left side where you can click which ones are relevant to what you're assessing. And then there's a bottom at the button that instead of show all, you can just show selected, and it will give you kind of a summary of those results all on one screen, which I find helpful.
Yeah, I've had some people that they'd click on one result and go back, and then click on another
Yeah.
result and then go back. So that's definitely a useful tip.
And then there is also, if you're looking at trends over time, there is also another function that I don't think a lot of people are aware of. You might have noticed there's a little kind of line that will say check 5 or check 10 on all selected. And that is actually, it's not intuitive, but if you click on that, and if someone's had multiple results over a period of time, it can give you a bit of a visual graph of what the trends are of that result, which can be really helpful. So a caveat to that is, as I mentioned, because there's information coming from different systems, if that person's had blood work done kind of in central zone and then in other zones, you can only trend within whatever system it came from. So if they have results from multiple systems, you might not be able to get that full picture sometimes. But in a lot of cases, it can be a really helpful tool to kind of visualize if something's changing gradually or more drastically, et cetera.
Yeah, it's funny because I've had some of the teams tell me that That's really one of the most useful pieces of information, because having a single number in isolation isn't as useful as seeing the trends over time. So that's been really helpful. And the other thing I like is that within Share, like particularly for med reviews, sometimes the pharmacist may be talking to the patient and they'll want a physical copy of it, and there's a print icon there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's typically when I use the print function as well, is when doing your med review, it's nice to have that all printed out and available to attach to your med review and scan it in all together. So when someone else is looking at it, they can have a look at that all in one, which is nice. And the print functionality is not always very obvious because similar to that edit button, it's a very, very tiny little button with an icon of a printer on it. It is available. And one important thing too with the print function is there are some cases that you might not be able to utilize the print function, and it depends on how you're accessing through the remote desktop. So when it comes to accessing Share and Community Pharmacies, you have to first go in through what we call the remote desktop. And that essentially is getting you into the Nova Scotia Health Secure Network, which is where Share is accessible within. You can't access Share outside of that network. So first you have to log in through the remote desktop, and then that brings you to that kind of like new window, desktop window, where there's a link to the Share clinical portal. For the remote desktop, there's two different ways that you can access it. There is a URL that you can just access it through the web, and then you can also download the remote desktop application from Microsoft onto your computer and access it through the application itself. If you want to print, you should access it through the application because that will allow the print functionality. If you're accessing it through the browser version, sometimes that print functionality doesn't work properly.
Oh, that's good to know. I did not know that. Just to kind of wrap up, what does the future hold for Share in your department?
For the future, there is currently in the works a new platform that is going to be replacing Share, which we're really excited about. Because as some people have probably noticed, Share is what we call a legacy application. So the look and feel is older. It was developed many years ago. And because of that too, it limits, we don't have the ability to actually make many changes to the application itself. So having a new modern application to replace it is really exciting. And I think it should hopefully also help to address some of those gaps that I mentioned about some results not making it into Share. We're hoping that will be solved with this new application. We expect it should be out sometime in the next year. Don't know the exact date yet, but once we do, we'll definitely be sharing it with folks and providing more information about it. But we hope it will make the user experience a little easier to have a more modern application to work with.
No, that'll be really great. I look forward to seeing what's next. So I want to thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know there's some tips in here that are going to help most of our audience. And just to let everyone know, some of the resources and supports, we're going to update our member lounge so that you can tap into those, some of the guides and some of the contact information if you need it. All right. Well, Rowan, thanks again for coming on. It's been a pleasure to have you here, and thanks again for all the support you and your team have provided to pharmacists in Nova Scotia.
No problem. Thanks again for having me. It's been a pleasure and happy to help support where we can. So feel free to reach out, as I mentioned, to that share@novascotia.ca email, and we can help guide you to the resources that you need.
Okay. And thank you everyone for listening. Bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Pods and Pans. For more information on what's happening at Pans, be sure to check your inbox every Thursday evening for our weekly communication. If you are not receiving our emails, update your email settings anytime on Pans Member Lounge. Feel free to reach out to pods@pans.ns.ca to submit a question on an episode or a topic recommendation. See you next time.